The sermon today is on worship, but more specifically, I'm going to do a whole series on what's called Vineyard Values. And if you've not heard that term, we share a set of values with 1,500, 2,000 other churches around the world. And if you go to a vineyard, you should be able to find these different things. It's the theology and practice of the kingdom of God. If you don't understand these, in the next few weeks, hopefully you will. Experiencing God, the presence of God. Culturally relevant mission. They like to use nice big words. Reaching each generation. Reconciling community, being peacemakers. And compassionate ministry, which is caring for the broken. Now, those are big headings for all the things that we're talking about in our values. But every vineyard is sort of committed to these basic things. These are our non-negotiables. If you're a vineyard church, this is what you see as important. The theology and practice of the kingdom of God we'll go into later on, but we believe that Jesus is Lord, and that's the best way to describe that. If I had to say in one sentence, what does that mean? It means Jesus is Lord of our life. He's the Lord of the kingdom of God, and he's bringing, we pray in the Lord's Prayer, let it be done in heaven as it is on earth. Experiencing God in the presence of God, and that's where worship fits in, is us experiencing God in a real way. Some churches are happy to talk about him. Some of them even use the Bible and the stories in the Bible merely as allegories of life, and that no one really was healed. No one was really delivered of evil. No one was ever had these things happen. Miracles were could be explained. But we see that actually experiencing God, if he's alive and real and we really believe that, then we're going to experience him. Worship is one of the main ways that we do that. Culturally relevant mission, which really means we're here with the music of our time and the message that fits all times, but we fit it in a way that people can best hear it. Reconciling communities, being peacemakers. The vineyard has, we're sort of a central church, which means, the history of the vineyard was written in a book called The Quest for the Radical Middle. We like to see the incorporation of lots of churches. I have no trouble going in and seeing Catholics and talking to them about how we want to serve the poor, how we want to look at, say, meditative prayer, more of the high church functions, now how we're doing communion. But then we can go to a Pentecostal church and say, yes, we see the Holy Spirit. We want to worship and sing and be joyful. And then we can go to an evangelical church and say, yes, we believe that Jesus is Lord and that people need to give their lives to Christ. So that's sort of the reconciling that we want to do as we bring people together. Truthfully, one of the reasons, not the main reason, but a significant reason that we are doing communion every Sunday is that we're in a city that is heavily Catholic and probably equally as heavy ex-Catholics. And yet they have all been raised in an appreciation for something that's really great, which is communion. So we're doing that. And not even just Catholics, but Lutherans and Episcopals and many. And then compassionate ministry, caring for the broken. We believe in serving the poor, of not rejecting people that others have rejected. And that's something that's the reason why some of us are even here right now, is because it's a church in which we could be accepted. This is Paula and I, our experience, where other churches would say, you're divorced, you're the lepers, go away. And yesterday we marked our 17th year together, and God has called us together, and the vineyard saw that. and blessed it. So for us, it was a blessing. We have, and I can get you, you could just Google Vineyard USA, and when you do, you'll get this kind of thing, and let me, instead of pointing at it, this kind of thing right here, and then you see the Vineyard core values. So if you want to look more at those, you could spend a day on them, but this is where Vineyard website, Vineyard USA is what we're all part of, obviously, because we're in the Vineyard and we're in the USA. So there are vineyards in Canada and all over the world, different parts, Europe and so forth. So probably the biggest are Canada and England. So I want to show you a short video, and it's by a man by the name of Phil Strout. And Phil is our new national director, and he's a wonderful guy. He is pastoring a church in Lewiston, Maine, and he's just sort of a good old boy, kind of rough guy. And he's our new leader as of the beginning. Was it last year? Beginning of last year, I think. So anyway, he has some things to say about this all, experiencing God, the presence of God. We can leave the lights on. We more want to hear what he has to say. Check the volume.
One of our core values in the Vineyard, very clearly, is experiencing God. I love this. I love it that it's not something that we're just cognitively aware of, something we've read in a book, and it's historical. No, when we, in the Vineyard, and that's why it came out as a core value, is because we believe God is to be known, experienced, something where it's tangible. We have that interface with God. One of this value of worshiping God, in expressing love and receiving love. It's not something that is just cerebral. It is something that's real, it's tangible, it's physical, it's subjective, it's objective. It's the real part of this. One of the things that a good friend of mine once said to me, he said, you know, Phil, he says, what I love about the Vineyard, he says, is when you folks go to church, you really believe that God is going to be there also. And what he was trying to say was, you guys know you're going to experience God. We're not going to just sit down, stand up, put a dollar on the plate, walk away, and have paid our duty. When we gather, or driving down the road in the car, I love it that I can tell people, no, when I sing in the car.
Sorry about that.
I sing in the shower. When I'm on my motorcycle, I experience God. And it's probably better because nobody can hear me singing. But, you know, this whole thing of experiencing God is so important. The Vineyard can never walk away from this and stay Vineyard. We cannot walk away from the experiencing God and the worshiping of the Lord and that intimacy with God. It's one of our values. But let me tell you this. If we were going to go in order, you know, 1, 2, 3, it's going to be one of those top core things that we can never, ever walk away from. It's the difference between knowing about and actually personally knowing. So that's why we have it. We have it as a very high value. Worship God, experience Him wherever you are.
Most of you know the history of the Vineyard, but we're founded by a man by the name of John Wimber, which you're going to hear some about today. He was raised in a non-religious family, converted to Christianity in May of 1963, just as the revolution folks were coming up. He had previously been a keyboard player in the band called the Paramours, and he had recruited two lead singers for his band, and they broke off to become the Righteous Brothers. He was attributed the formation of the band. When I say he played keyboard, he played 27 instruments, I believe. Music was his whole life. And you've heard me say the story of where he just said to God when he felt a call to be a pastor, two things, I don't wear a suit and I don't like your music. And I think he's changed the music in especially the Protestant scene forever. Now we don't have a corner on that market. We used to have a corner on that market, but fortunately it has been taken over by lots of other churches, and we're actually really thrilled with that. We don't have to be somehow different or better than everyone. It's something I think God was doing, and that's why it happened. I remember the early years of the Vineyard Music. There was a Christian bookstore in Ann Arbor, and they had a whole music section, and one section was for Vineyard Music. And then everyone else was in the other section of it. It was that big. And one of the things that really made it successful was they would record live worship. And so it wasn't somebody in a studio, you know, trying to get their guitars perfect or their voices. It was worship. And you could tell in their voice, in what they were saying, you could feel the emotions, you could feel what was going on, that it was real and tangible. And John used to say that I forgot something. We have always valued worship here. And I want to take you through a little tour. I almost forgot that. I didn't mark it here. But we have had many bands and many combinations of bands over the 8.5 years that we've been together. So I want to show you some. This is actually the old Cafe Classics. That was our former car before it got squashed. It was our second week as a church. So Pete was there. And Paula, I think, had lost her voice or something, and so we drafted Milan, who had just left his church, and he came a couple weeks and helped us with worship until she got her voice back. This was, Riverside Elementary School, and you can see Tony and Michelle Marchese. They're going to be here next week as part of our church. Michelle sings, and obviously Tony is a tremendous violinist. And then we had Furl, is it his name? Bomia, and Gene Schaefer. They came in and helped us. They were probably half the church while we were doing that at Riverside Elementary. So that was the early years, and of course Paula at the keyboard. I mean, reality was for the first 3 years it was Paula at the keyboard, so you get pictures of special stuff that happened. But and then you can see them back again, and you probably hard seeing it, but that's my friend Albert, who may come next week. He's fighting a long-term disease called lupus, and the lupus will tell him whether he can be part of us. He's a conga player, so very good. This was opening at the barn, as we used to call it. It was the Visitation Barn, which is, it's still out there, but now it's a construction office, unfortunately. Beautiful inside, as you can see. It was our opening. We met there, 2.5 years or so. And then this was our first band. It was funny, for about 3 years, Paula just led worship. And within 2 or 3 weeks, we went from Paula to five. And that's when Bob joined us and never quit. Mike and Rick and Amy. And then they actually opened. We were doing the concerts in the park every summer. And so they played at St. Mary's Park. And you can see Choir Visible. That was the Owassa Vineyard band that I was also helping to pastor out there. So, Amy dropped out, but she brought in a bass player, kind of ugly guy. This is Benny. And actually, a better look at him is in this picture, and his girlfriend Meredith was with us. We're back here in the barn again. And so that was the band for quite a while. And then we had some people drop out. Benny and Meredith left, and we ended up with Mark and Ed. And so this is Mark and Ed. And that was our new band for a time. And you can see slight adjustments in and out. Though this was at one of our church picnics, and they played there, the same gang. Looks like a semi-motley crew, but as we moved in here the first Sunday, you can see we had added Tiffany, who was a really wonderful singer, and Krissa Lee, who was responsible for our windows, and her daughter was responsible for the painting in, well, at least sketching it out in the children's room. But then later she found we weren't quite the fit. She was picturing something a little different, I think. So this is the gang the next summer in the park. You can see we had some kind of a flow, but this was, they ended up playing together at St. Mary's Park again. We did that, we did it a total as our band of three times, three summers. So then we went from there to, a year and a half ago or so it was, that we had this group. And maybe it's closer to 2 years now, I don't know. But anyway, and Vern and Leslie were, and then Heather was here for a time. Gary was the sound man in the red shirt. And then for one of our special occasions, we had a friend, Tim, who's with the guitar. It's a little hard to see. And his stepdaughter and his wife are there. And that was probably the biggest stretch of band that we had. That was only for a week, though. But and then we end up with this crew now. So. Yeah, this was yesterday morning, actually. So that you get an idea of the fact that, I mean, it seems fluid, but I think worship has always been in this church one of the premier things that the most important things. Without worship, we just don't even really have church. It's a little struggle, I know, sometimes when we leave and you have to do those videos, but even that you can plug into, because it's just a matter of it's us turning our hearts to the Lord. So so it's been a blessing for us. I had these a little bit out of order. I jumped into this with the Righteous Brothers. What I was starting to say is that John said, worship is the act of freely giving love to God, giving our love to Him. And the music can become the focus, and that can be a negative thing. It says, the Lord says, these people come to me, come near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. The worship of me is made up of rules taught by men. And that's something that I think sometimes we often fall into. You heard Paula sing the song by Matt Redman that says, when the music fades and all is slipped away, I simply come longing just to be something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you, this is speaking to God, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you require. You should search much deeper within through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I mean, the three things you can see is, one is, even Matt Redman, who wrote this, could say, Lord, sometimes I just get caught up in the music. I mean, he's very successful and popular, and it's nothing for him to have thousands of people hear him sing, and it can be even rock concert kind of level of hype. And he's saying to God, I want to recognize it can become about me and my music rather than about you. But it's all about Jesus. That's the message. The other thing that was different about Vineyard Music is that in most cases, you sang about God. We began a new idea, which was to sing to God, so that we were speaking to Him in our songs and speaking to Him. So that's kind of the nature of Vineyard worship. Worship in general, there's kind of three aspects the Bible talks about. Submission, service, and reverence. Those are all Hebrew words off to the side. And so 2 Kings says, when the Lord made a covenant with the Israelites, he commanded them, do not worship, Yareh, any other gods or bow down, Hawa, to them, serve, Abad, them, or sacrifice to them. He's saying, don't do that to them, which infers, but please, you know, do that to me. I mean, that's kind of God's nature. He's calling us to a submission. The Hebrew word hawa, which means to bow down, pay homage and worship. The Greek word proskuneo, which also means to fall down, prostrate oneself, adore on one's knees, humility. Again, it's just not about us. And John Wimber again said, right at the heart of this message is God is calling a people out for himself to worship him. This is not some kind of ego trip because poor God, poor old God has a bad self-image. He doesn't need to be buttered up by the loving things we say. Quite the opposite is true. God knows that the greater good in all eternity is him. Learning this truth and expressing it to him causes us to draw near to the source of all blessings, which is God himself. As we discover and experience the majesty of God, the reality of his presence in our lives and his availability to us in our times of need, we'll be unable to keep from worshiping him. It is a natural and foregone response. So this is again John Wimber's words, and I think the last word I have by him is, intimate worship transformed my life, this is John speaking, as a Christian. As a result, it is an integral part of where we have been and where we are going in our local bodies. Additionally, the Vineyard movement has made worship its first priority. Becoming true worshipers is the chief assignment that God has given us in his lifetime. What we're talking about is an intimacy with God. We want to open our lives up for him. It's not like he doesn't already know us, but he really wants to see us for real. He wants to see us being real. It's kind of the intimacy, the intimacy means into me see. And the closer we get, the more he's going to see about you. The funny thing is that as we worship him, even though we make it about him, we receive. We receive his love. I mean, if you've gotten into a real moment of worship at some point, you feel God's love. And sometimes it really sets you back. So, now, we need to be real before God in worship and not just wallow in the mire. I want to jump one other psalm, which I didn't write out, but there's a kind of catchy song that's, this is the day that the Lord hath made. And you think, all right, so it always has to be some sort of Pollyanna kind of thing. That's actually Psalm 55. But one of my favorites is this one, which says, in the evening, in the morning, and at noonday, I will complain and lament, and he will hear my voice. That God doesn't have to just be cheered up by us. Actually, obviously, it's the opposite. Oftentimes we need to, but sometimes we just need to dump it at his feet. And I can tell you that not only is it appropriate, but in most cases it's only appropriate to dump it at his feet and not at each other's feet. Because he wants to take that on. He wants to deal with it. When we turn our conflict and our pain and our problems and the things of our life over to him, that's when he can work in our lives to deal with them. So, if not, we end up becoming what we worship. This is what the Lord said. What fault did your fathers find in me? They strayed so far from me, they followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. I mean, there's things in life. For lots of people, it's sports. For other people, It's other, their work, their job. Sometimes it's even another person that they make their God. That's the most important thing. But our God is our most important thing. And that's what we're talking about. So, the Bible also says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And finally, the last scripture, you can come on up, is, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. He has a will that he wants to reveal to us. And part of that is just revealing himself to us. Now, worship is one of those things that I can't sit here and explain it to you and then have you do it. There's a point in which you really have to be involved. One of the things John Wimber used to say is, this is the kind of stuff that's caught, not taught. Meaning, it's almost like catching a cold. You have to experience it, but in a good way. So we're going to do a little workshop, and Paul is going to lead this part of it. And we're just going to take it slowly, and what we want to do is focus our hearts on him. So.